Thank you, praise band. Wonderful music today as we hear the word in song and as we give thanks to God for his goodness. Music indeed washes from the soul the dust of everyday life, and especially in these days. Pam Dressel told the story that when her daughter was four, as Easter approached, she struggled to get through to her the meaning of Easter. It went something like this. Mama, will the Easter bunny bring me purple jelly beans? I'm sure he will bring you jelly beans, honey. But remember, Easter isn't about the bunny. It's about Jesus. But will they be purple? Yes, honey. I'm sure there will be some purple ones in there. Honey, the important thing about Easter isn't the bunny. Easter is about how much Jesus loves you and me and the whole world. Mama, how many purple jelly beans will the Easter bunny bring me? Honey, I think he will probably bring plenty of purple jelly beans. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Mama? Yes, honey. Will he bring me Tootsie Rolls too? You see, for a four-year-old, and I know having grandkids myself, Easter bunnies and purple jelly beans and Tootsie Rolls are just way more interesting than Jesus, and they are enough to make Easter fun. And fun for a toddler is enough. Although Easter hadn't gotten to the point of having as many consumer and cultural distractions as Christmas, sometimes it's the way for we as adults experience it the same as well. Lilies, new clothes, family visits, family calls this year, determining what to have for the meal. They consume our attention. Showing up at worship on Easter Sunday for some of us is just part of the gig. And we come expecting little more than candy-coated cliches. But my guess is that unless you're four, you're looking for something beyond candy-coated cliches added to the assortment of jelly beans we consume. I have to believe that is why so many of you today have tuned in for our broadcast of worship this morning. We want to know something more. Something more. I know little ones and grandkids will not stay little forever. And sooner or later, or should I say sooner and later, they and all of God's children need all of us will encounter the dark night of heart-wrenching grief, devastating disappointment, or smoldering guilt. And when we do, we need more in our darkness than bunnies and jelly beans. Early one morning, I was reading this text, preparing myself for the sermon, and there it was. I could not get beyond it. It demanded that I address it in the sermon. I had read this text all my life, but it had never captured my attention in the past. The words were demanding my attention. The text tells the story of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb of Jesus early on the first day of the week. And then the text says, while it was dark. I know it was all in likelihood that the Apostle John meant for this to be a reference to the time of day. But for me, It opened wide my imagination to a deeper understanding of the text. Mary had been with Jesus all the way. She had seen lives made new, bodies healed, and eyes opened. She had heard the complaining of the disciples and the criticism of the religious leaders. She saw now the crowds, how they had adored him, and the rulers, how they hated him. She stood under the cross as they killed him, and her heart was broken. She had seen the adoration of the people when they entered the city on Sunday, and their hostility when they stood before Pilate at the end of the week. Now it was all over. She may have thought, the least I can do is to anoint the body with spices. Everyone deserves a proper burial. Her heart was heavy, and so was her soul. It was dark. What would we do now? Peter and the others could go fishing. They could start back up their business again. Perhaps we could have a reunion in a couple of years and talk about old times. About the only thing she could think of was perhaps starting a memorial society for a dead Galilean preacher. Sadness, disappointment, and emptiness had been her companions since Friday, Good Friday. It had been a good 3-year run, but now it was over. However, a close examination of the text reveals something helpful. When it was yet dark, God was at work in her behalf. He was making a way where there was no way. Have no doubt about it, when things get tough, and they will, it does not mean that God has abandoned you. When the darkness comes upon you, God is still working in your behalf. She didn't leave Jesus or deny him. She remained faithful to him while waiting for the light. The British writer named Francis Spoofer briefly touched upon this scene recently, and in his telling of it, when Mary Magdalene knows it is the risen Christ, she hears him say to her, "Far more can be mended than you know. Far more can be mended than you know." I'll take that for Easter any day. Is everything to be made just right again? No. Some of what is lost really is lost. Certain possibilities is too late for. It really is. But more can be mended than we know. God has raised the beloved from the dead. Where there was madness, there is meaning now. Where there was despair, now strength. At the breaking of everything, a newness. Where there was death, by the power of God's love, there is resurrection of the dead. She turns to take hold of him. To take hold of all of that that ever was and ever might be. And what does he say to her? What does he say? He says, "Just a moment. Hold, hold, hold." He says, "Don't do that. You can't hold on to what was." And it dawns on us. That is why he calls our names in the first place. So we would rise and release what was, including our dreams of what was. And to go from here to live in the power of newness. Leave this graveyard. You're stuck in something you should be getting free from. Here's your freedom. Now leave this. You've got guilt. The tomb is empty now. Lay down your guilt. Got rage? Well, it got you this far, didn't it? But now, leave it here. Leave it. And go, live. Fear? Worried to death about what cannot be known? Scared of taking the risk that just might stretch you toward life? Fear is the stuff of death. So uncurl your anxious fingers from that and leave it at the tomb and choose freedom of the living one. And if all that is presently so traumatic and horrid around us with this pandemic, if all that is so helpless and so fearful and truly threatening to this world has made you despairing and cynical and joyless, then listen. The one whose life was a confrontationally, beautifully of it, and whose death was fully a suffering of it, his resurrection by power of God's God decisively defeats all of that despair, all of that cynicism, all of that joylessness. The power of darkness will have their victories, but already now they are defeated. And the one who is risen to life has called you by name, and to be liberated from the place of dying, and to be empowered to go bear witness in your life to the power of the resurrection from the dead. Yes, it is a command. Hear it again. Why are you crying? Don't hold on. Get out of this place and let it be known. Easter is more than assurance. Easter is demand. There is living lordship here. Go and live like it's a new world. Because in Christ, a new world is what it is. This is not a story on a page. It is present now. Open, moving, free, life-giving, and will always be uncontainable. So, can we get out of here? Leaving everything behind that is not the life and the love that Christ gives, and rise with him into a newness of life? I will say the words again that I said last Sunday, and I will hope you will say them back. Friends, I bring you the best of news. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter again. May this season of Easter affect you each and every day of your life. In the name of the living God, whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, administer his grace of love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to have a time in which we pause and give thought to our life as a church. For so many have the opportunity now to give of their time, their talents, and their treasure. Many of you give regularly to the church work. Some of you give occasionally. I encourage you to drop your check in an envelope to the church to sustain the work that goes on here, and the mission work that tells the good news that God is love and God transforms people's lives each and every day. Let us give thanks for what God has given us as we bless others with the gifts God has given us.